Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to our final year-end edition of the Three Martini Lunch, although it actually is Friday, January 2nd. So happy New Year. Happy 2015, everyone, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have our final, most prestigious awards for 2014. We have the Person of the Year, we have the Turncoat of the Year, and we have our New Year's resolutions for 2015. So, Jim, hopefully you're recovered from the partying and those college football games last night, and I'll lead off with the Person of the Year, and it's actually the same person I gave it to 2 years ago, although with a much happier tone in my voice. It's the American voter. 2 years ago, I was completely disgusted with the fact that after 4 years of Obama's track record and Mitt Romney, even if he's not your ideal choice as president, certainly made himself and presented himself as a much more favorable alternative, and the American people decided not to go in that direction. Well, this time, they not only went in that direction in the midterm elections, they did so overwhelmingly. The conservative base was clearly motivated. Those who did not go out to vote, who the president assumes all were supportive of him, they were not motivated, and that's because the track record is increasingly clear, and the voters were not falling for cheap campaign tactics like the war on women and other things that were just thrown out there at the last second trying to distract people from the obvious deterioration of this country and this government in many different ways, the many scandals, the incompetence on issues from ISIS to the VA scandal to Ebola, all kind of coming together. And people were paying attention. They didn't fall for the president's argument for why Democrats should retain control of the Senate. And they did listen to him when he said that, hey, these people really do have my back and my ideas are on the ballot. Good job, American voter. You've got Republicans in control of the House now, and Harry Reid is in the minority. So good times.
You know, for most of your choices, Greg, I've said they're excellent choices, ones that either I was considering thinking or something like that. I'm going to wrap you on the knuckles a bit and say that's a cop-out. You can say that just about every election year. So,
okay.
So I thought long and hard about it. Because look, it was interesting because this was a big year for Republicans, but not one in which there was a much of a central unifying figure. I don't think there was necessarily any larger-than-life figure for conservatives or Republicans who stood head and shoulders above everybody else. So I went in a slightly different direction, and I'm going to go with the Republican who I think was most surprising in his victory. And as a result of that, perhaps most significant, I went with Maryland Governor-elect Larry Hogan. Because it's worth noting, I mean, besides the fact that he won 51% to 47% in deep blue Maryland, almost nobody gave him much of a chance. See, most polls had him down about 10 points or so. Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, the Democrat, was considered a not particularly strong challenger, but he was a Dem. He had a D after his name, and it was part of Martin O'Malley's administration. And, you know, Republicans talked about how disastrous the Maryland State Health Insurance Exchange had been, and it didn't seem to be getting much traction. And then, you know, Hogan was running kind of a very basic bread and butter, taxes are too high, we need to control spending, conservative message. And it looked like it wasn't going to do anything particularly special. And then the voters showed up. And, you know, Hogan won 20 of the state's 23 counties. It's not surprising that Brown won Prince George's County and Baltimore County. But nonetheless, you know, the one where Hogan won, he was winning, you know, 2-1, 3-1, stuff like that. And apparently in some recent speech, Hogan recently said, these are three lonely counties that unfortunately voted the wrong way from the entire rest of the state. And so, look, you know, he's pointing out, look, that the state's tax revenues are expected to be well short of spending. You can talk about the need to, you know, trim government's ambitions. It's going to be a nice antidote to the Martin O'Malley government can be all things to all people messaging. And I think he's a guy to watch because if he can make anything resembling conservative governance work in a place like Maryland, boy, you know, maybe there's hope for a place like New York. Maybe there's hope for a place like the rest of New England and places like that. So I you know, the West Coast, you know, maybe the most intriguing Republican figure right now. And we'll see, you know, certainly the most surprising win of 2014, and we'll see where things go. Or if he ends up like Robert Ehrlich from a few years ago, where he could call his own victory kind of a historical accident. we'll see what happens there. Potentially a really key Republican figure in the years to come.
Very good. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my runner-up because I wouldn't want to carry the cop-out label completely into 2015, and that's Chris Christie. Whether or not he's your choice for the Republican nomination, he survived the Bridgegate nonsense. He also did very well as head of the Republican Governors Association, including the Hogan race. They won pretty much every competitive race around the country. And apparently, he's the anti-Jessica Simpson because whenever he shows up at Cowboys games, they win. So not that I'm excited about the Cowboys winning, but things seem to be going his way. So we'll see what happens to him in the new year, which should be a pretty eventful year for Chris Christie. All right, on to the turncoat of the year. And my choice for this one is from a story that just happened last week. And that is Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City. This is a guy who came in preaching progressivism, promising to stop and frisk from the New York City Police Department. So coming in, the police knew they weren't getting the biggest friend in the world. But what they didn't expect was for a guy to completely throw them under the bus after the Eric Garner verdict, saying that he worries for his son, who's biracial, coming up against New York City police, and that there's a long history of racism in the department. And then he wonders why the head of the union and others, including former police commissioner Bernard Carrick, think he's got blood on his hands following the murder of those two police officers on December 21st. So this is a guy who's lost the trust of the police department. He's lost the support of a lot of people in New York City. And if he hangs on, he's just going to be hanging on, which might actually be good that he's a little bit neutered in terms of his political power in New York City. But the fact that he hangs on at all after the way he's treated the cops, which is kind of his most important job in New York City, is truly pathetic.
That's a pretty solid choice there, Greg. I would say, look, last year, I picked Charlie Crist, kind of always a safe, reliable selection for a turncoat. Thankfully, there were not a lot of former Republicans going out and helping out Democrats. Former Senator John Warner endorsed Mark Warner, the Democrat in Virginia, so I thought about him. But I'm going to go with kind of a more prominent one, a guy who's been on the scene a little more recently. Former Senator Dick Lugar of Indiana lost his GOP primary in 2012 to Richard Murdoch and then declined to endorse him. Endorsed Michelle Nunn down in Georgia and had his political PAC send her the maximum $5,000 he could. Obviously, I'm sure it has a lot to do with his buddy-buddy relationship with her father, Sam Nunn. But Lugar, having been, once running for president for the Republican Party back in 1996, became more and more the foreign policy establishment and moderate Republicans. And now, the reason conservatives distrust self-described moderate Republicans is that after a while they start endorsing Democrats. They always have this, you didn't back me, so I'm jumping to the other side, Charlie Crist, Arlen Specter vibe to them. And, another example of that. So, Richard Lugar, it'd be a little harsh to say you're dead to me, but just to say, don't ever come to me looking for a favor, pal, because you weren't there for our side when you needed it. And, a very familiar transition to the left appears to be continuing apace on his part.
It's hard to believe he wasn't the nominee in 96, given his raw political charisma. I've never figured that one out.
Well, the irony is he ran on terrorism, and everybody thought in 96 it was a crazy topic to be running on.
A little bit prescient on that topic then. All right, yes. On to the New Year's resolutions. I toyed with not getting too immersed into the 2016 campaign too early next year, but instead I'm going to go with a topic that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago during the whole fight over the Cromnibus bill, and that was the argument once again from Republicans, well, we can't do that much of what conservatives want because the Democrats for the next few weeks still control the Senate, so the last thing we need is a government shutdown. We'll get blamed for it, which is true. They probably would have gotten blamed for such a thing, even though Elizabeth Warren was the one making the biggest threat towards that. But come next week, Jim, Republicans control the Senate, they control the House, and the time for saying just wait till fill in the blank is over. I think conservatives expect a lot of bold initiatives. They expect things to be done, like a full repeal of Obamacare, even though the president will likely veto that, and many other conservative agenda items that have been forced to the back burner because conservatives have been told for a long time that there is just not enough votes and there's just not a political reality that'll make things happen. Doesn't mean there's not still going to be some challenges because there's a Democrat in the White House, but there's definitely going to be an expectation going forward here that the conservatives and the Republicans do what they promise to do. And that's our job. And that'll be my job, is to make sure that they are held accountable for those promises. And hopefully they'll come through with shining colors.
That is a good resolution, Greg. Now, I contemplated making a resolution to go along with whatever Republican leadership had proposed, to take whatever deal was on the table, and to cheerlead whatever surrender they felt was in the best long-term interest of the party. But now I'm going to go a different direction. No, I'm resolving to get healthier and eat healthier. I just realized that if I added get moving and drink more water, I will have hit the trifecta of Michelle Obama's health recommendations. Nonetheless, it's all good advice, and I'm going to try to do that myself. And if I do so, I'm just not going to let Michelle Obama take credit for it.
Sounds good. Well, good luck with that. We all would love to be healthier. I think I may at least attempt to follow your lead, but you sound more committed to it than I do at this point. So, Jim, again, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all our listeners, and we'll reconvene on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. Happy New Year again, everyone. Join us Monday for the next regular edition of the Three Martini Lunch.